Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you. It's a lot of fun for me, and I assume you're getting something out of it because you're hanging out with me, and I appreciate that very much. We do our best. We try to make sure that that we got something for you here, and I think you're going to agree with me a lot right now because our good friend Barbara Weltman's back with us. Barb is an original member of our Brain Trust. We've already had her 10th anniversary with us, and moving into our 11th year with Barbara, and she's just the best. She's one of the smartest people I know. She's an attorney by education. She is a tax expert. She has made her career focusing on the issues around small business and their tax situation, helping them with tax planning. She's written so many books on the topic, including J.K. Lasser's Tax Deductions for Your Small Business, now in its fourth edition. She's our good friend, Barbara Weltman. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
It's good to have you back.
The book is Small Business Taxes 2008, and it's, I don't know, it's like the 12th edition.
There you go. Now, you know what I'm looking at? I was using another book. You got so many, Barbara, I can't keep up. But thanks for correcting me. But if it says Barbara Weltman, folks, just buy it. You'll need it. Don't worry about that. Barbara, what's the news?
Things are kind of still on hold in Congress. You know, we still don't know about the extenders. Provisions expired at the end of 2007, and we think they're going to be extended, but don't know.
Which ones?
Well, for example, the research credit. Companies, how do you plan for your R&D when you don't even know what the tax rules are for the year?
Mm-hmm. So we're literally sitting here in limbo. They haven't said yes, they haven't said no, and so what's the problem? Why can't they? Is it politics? They can't make a decision, or what's going on?
Yeah, it just seems to be politics. They're sort of holding these provisions hostage while they deal with some other aspects. I really can't understand it.
They really can't walk and chew gum at the same time.
It's sort of not the money. It's just it's something else.
The gang that can't shoot straight.
Unbelievable.
Well, you know, I heard Speaker Pelosi the other day talking. She was really talking very badly about the president, and she called him a failure. Barbara, without any sense of irony.
You mean the fact that the Democrats have controlled Congress for the past couple of years?
Well, my folks, this is not a political. I'm not making a partisan comment. I mean, I would have said the same thing to him if the shoe were on the other foot. The only approval rating that's lower than President Bush's is Congress's approval rating.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the Democrats or the Republicans. I'm talking about Congress's approval rate. So she actually called the president a failure, with knowing that, and knowing what you're telling us right now, that they haven't done their job, that they don't have a coherent energy policy. Knowing all of that, she says that without any sense of irony, and it proves to me, Barbara, that these people have no shame.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems, I can't even get into their head and figure out where they're at. They're just not doing their job. If they were working for private industry, they'd all be fired.
There's no question about it. And so here's my question, Barbara. Why are we paying them?
Well,
why are we paying them? I mean, see, they're in charge of payroll, too, aren't they?
Well, you know, the I don't know. The weird thing is that you'll see come November, and most of them, the incumbents, will be reelected.
Yeah, because even though I may not like Congress, I like my guy, right? Is that how it is around most people?
Or the person you know is better than the unknown or
right.
something like
yeah.
that.
Well, I think a lot of people really, though, I think the attitude is, oh, I hate Congress. I think they're not doing a very good job. I think it's terrible, but don't mess with my guy. I like my guy.
Well, that could be it, but I think we all sort of get over that and pick people
yeah.
who are going to do something.
The power of the incumbency is mm-hmm. really strong in the United States, isn't it?
Very.
There are many, many factors, many structures, including the money that makes the power of the incumbency very, very strong. Quick break. We're going to talk some more tax policy, some more small business taxes, some things that Barbara has found that you and I need to know about with regard to tax planning, and we need to be doing that this year. It's 20 till. She and I will be right back. I'm Jim Blassie. Welcome back. It's 17 till. That's Ann and Nancy, the Wilson sisters, otherwise known as Hart, bringing us back. 17 till. I'm Jim Lassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find the show and the archives and the articles and the Brain Trust and the newsletter and the blog, etc., etc., etc. Lots and lots of stuff. Thousands and thousands and thousands of pieces of information in various media forms that will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. It's a veritable gold mine, folks. Okay, maybe somebody might think it's not a gold mine. Maybe it's a silver mine. But I think there's some valuable information there. I know some of it is because a lot of it's got Barbara Weltman's name on it. And whatever Barbara does is top shelf. Barbara Weltman is our guest. Oh, by the way, my knowledge base, she's also contributed to that, too. My knowledge base is askjim.biz, where you get small business answers now. Barbara is the author of J.K. Lasseter's Small Business Taxes, 2008, and it's what would you say, like the 12th edition or something
like that.
Is that how long you've been doing this, isn't it?
More than 12 years. I don't know.
Yeah
a long time.
Yeah, because I've been telling them about it since 1998, so I know it's been a long time. And tell us where your books are available, Barbara.
You can find my books through my website, BarbaraWeltman.com, or at Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or any places you can find books.
Wherever fine books are sold, and her books are fine. Barbara, let's talk some more about small business taxes. You were telling us about the we still don't know about the research, the R&D tax credit. What about some of the other things? We need to remind people that they can still they increase the Section 179 direct expensing deduction.
They did for 2008. You can expense up to $250,000.
Now I know some of you are saying, well, we already knew that, but you know what, folks? Some people don't, and
yeah.
you might be if you're anticipating, Barbara, folks, small business owners, even if 08 business is off a little bit. We still got a plan for 09 and 10, and that means that we need to make sure that we're staying competitive. And that means, for some of us, that means we gotta ramp up our physical plant, our productivity machine, and that means buying equipment sometimes.
Well, you have to make investments.
Yeah.
The challenge, of course, is going to be finding the money today because
right.
it's tight. But
okay, Barbara, talk to us about this scenario, though. Okay, so in 08, I'm hanging on. I've got my business is doing good, but it's not growing like I want it to because the economy's off a little bit. So I'm pretty sure I'm not going to be as profitable this year.
Mm-hmm.
So that big deduction is not going to help me a lot this year, but I'm planning on being profitable in future years. Tell us how that works.
Well, the question brings up a couple of points. One is we don't really know whether they're going to extend this kind of incentive.
Right.
So you will be able to expense equipment into that. If you don't make an investment this year and you want to wait till next year when things are better and you have the money, we don't know what the limit is going to be.
Right.
So that's
no,
one
I'm,
point.
I'm saying they go ahead and make the investment. They want to make the investment now, today maybe,
mm-hmm.
but they can't take advantage of that deduction because they're not going to be as profitable this year. Tell us how that works into the future.
Well, if you can't, first of all, there is bonus depreciation, which is another option. So, in other words, if you're not profitable and you're not going to be able to take advantage of expensing, you can just depreciate the cost of the equipment over a set number of years. So you'll get the benefit when you're in higher tax years.
Right.
You can use, there's 50% bonus depreciation, and that will help create write-offs going forward.
Right.
With depreciation.
But there's also the loss carry forward, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
You can create a net operating loss. You can't use expensing to do that, though.
Right. So you can't create a loss.
You have to be profitable to use expensing.
You can't create a loss with expensing.
Correct.
And if you don't use expensing this year, you don't get to carry that forward, right?
Correct.
So that's the reason why
it's placed in service is the only opportunity.
That's the reason why that the it might not be expensing. The Section 179 ROT might not be the best for you, as you were saying.
Right. But the good thing is, if you need the equipment, buy it. You can decide on the tax treatment when it comes time to prepare your return. You don't have to know that right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have you'll be able to have the whole year in your pocket when you actually make the decision.
Right. Exactly. All right. I wish they'd bring back the investment tax credit myself.
That was kind of neat, but we haven't had that since 85, so I don't know.
Been a long time. I used that many years ago. They should bring that back. I think that would be better, but I don't know what that's going to take. All right, what else do we know about?
Well, you brought up the point about maybe this isn't the best year for you. It's not as good as you thought. Well, coming up in September, in the middle of September, you have to make another estimated tax payment for your corporation or you as the owner. Maybe it's time to revise your estimated tax payments. Maybe you can be paying less come September.
Mm-hmm.
So don't just automatically pay what you paid in June for your personal, because you may be overpaying. So really revisit your taxes now, sort of project through the rest of the year and revise what your estimated tax payments need to be.
Yeah, you don't want to make the government a loan.
An interest-free loan.
Yeah, interest-free loan. You don't want to do that because if you're like most small business owners, you need that money to make payroll.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Barbara, give us your website one more time, please.
It's at barbarawelton.com.
Can they find out about your radio show there?
You can click through to my radio show, and you can sign up for my idea of the day and my newsletter, Big Ideas for Small Business.
Barbara has a radio show. It's on Mondays, is that right?
It's Monday 4 to 5 at New York time.
There you go. And you can find out. She simulcasts on the internet there, and you can find it on her website, barbarawelton.com. I'm really proud of her for doing that. 10 till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Here's Little Richard to take us out.
So like the ball.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. The small business advocate, that's Carlos, Mr. Santana, bringing us back. Barbara Weltman is our guest. She's our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, author of J.K. Lasser's Small Business Taxes 2008. And there'll be a 2009 and 10 and et cetera, as we go through, as we move through year after year. Barbara's an abiding resource for you and me, and with regard to understanding taxes, all these things. She puts our tax situations, folks, in plain English in these books, and that's what I like about her. One of the things that I like about her books. Barbara, talk to us some more about some of the things that we need to know about tax planning.
Well, there was a case that just came down this week, and I think everybody should kind of take note. It involved a small business owner. He was actually a contractor, and he claimed some business deductions. And the IRS disallowed them. And then he went to tax court and argued that he was entitled to the deductions. But he didn't have any records. And the tax court said, no, you can't take the deductions.
Yeah.
But not only that, it's in the regulations. If you don't have the required substantiation, if you don't have the required records, you're subject to an accuracy-related penalty. That's 20% on top of the disallowance.
Wow.
So you know, we're mid-year and people may not have been keeping the greatest records. You know, take that as a warning to start keeping the records that you're required to do. You know, while individuals, consumers aren't required to keep records for all things, business owners are. And you better start doing it, or if you get caught, not only are you going to lose out on the deductions, but you're going to be subject to a hefty penalty.
Could be, absolutely. Yeah, that's a cautionary tale right there, folks.
Barbara, I was really taken aback. I'd never heard of that.
I'd never heard of that penalty before.
Yeah, and it's right there. Oh, yeah. I've heard of the penalty, but I didn't appreciate that it was just sort of like automatic for a business owner who doesn't keep records.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that there was an accuracy penalty of 20%. But let me ask you a question. If I know I've got to keep my tax returns for how long? How long do I keep tax returns?
I tell people to keep your tax returns with proof of filing forever.
Forever, okay. But what about records?
Well, it's a great question, and there are different answers for different things. For example, with respect to employment records, you need those for about 4 years at least, which means like the time slips and other things related to your employees. Most receipts and other things, you usually want to keep it like a minimum of 3 years, which is the time that the IRS ordinarily has to audit your return. Of course, you can keep things indefinitely very easily if you want to scan your records and burn them onto CDs.
But why would you want to keep records past 3 years?
Well,
isn't that just exposing yourself if you're not required to?
No, because
if you made an honest mistake or something, and they came in and found it, and it was something that you did wrong, and you didn't mean to do it, but all you did was you kept your records too long.
No, because the IRS has, in certain instances, the opportunity to come in more than 3 years. For example, if you omit more than 25% of your income.
Right. No. I'm not talking about any kind of fraud or anything like that. I know they can go back, but I'm just saying, you know, why give them, if you don't have to keep the records more than 3 years, why give them something to rifle through if you are audited? Why not just go ahead and get rid of those things?
Well, you could do that, but it may be helpful for your purposes.
So if you felt like you needed to defend yourself.
For yourself to sort of see what you were doing in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good reason to do that.
Okay.
Certainly, you want to keep records that relate to assets that you continue to own. In other words, you buy your building. Mm-hmm. You obviously have to keep all the records related
expenses
to that.
Expenses and all that, yep.
For as long as you own the building plus the 3 years or so. So it depends on the assets, and you have to sort of go by each kind of thing. And then you have to know the types of records to keep, because some things, receipts are sufficient. Some things, like certain travel costs, you need more than just receipts. You need to have written records saying why you had the expense, where you went to, when you did it, who you saw, what you talked about. So it's pretty onerous in some cases, but you really have to do it.
Barbara, I've got to wrap it up, but what I want you to do is I want you to come back again in about 30 days or so and talk to us about some of the retirement plans that need to be wrapped up. Some of them have to be done by October, don't they?
And some funded by September, so we'll talk about it.
In August, let's get you back and we'll talk about some of those so people can know what to get ready for. Hey, Barb,
thanks
for being here. Good job.
Bye-bye.
Barbara Weltman, ladies and gentlemen. She's the best. That's BarbaraWeltman.com. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.